Radio Show with your host, Ronnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV Radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision Radio Show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Today is Wednesday, and as you know, I normally bring you interviews, and I actually had an interview lined up, kind of something a little bit different. Somebody on Facebook had contacted me and said, hey, we really want to have exposure on this issue we're trying to promote. It's called Block the Vote. Vote the Block, that's what it's called, votetheblock.com. And it's about, why are we not wasting our vote on a third party candidate? And the whole thing was about being able to write in a letter. These are all the burners who feel like they're going to get at the DNC. I mean, the gentleman's name was Joel Colombero, and we spoke and interviewed. Something must have come up. He didn't contact me, and I have not been able to get in touch with him. So something must have come up pretty urgent, because we just spoke 2 days ago. So I don't know what happened, but I'm just going to continue, because this is a pretty interesting idea. Because as many of you know, I was a burner until Bernie showed himself to be who he really is, another Trumpster. That's what I'm calling them. They're Trumpsters. They're people who are like all working to get Hillary Clinton elected or selected or coronated or whatever it is we're going to call this newly crowned banana republic. And so this is what a banana republic is. This is according to the Wikipedia, the original Google. This is an interesting thing. When I looked up banana republic, because I kind of had to think quick on my feet, what am I going to talk about? My opinion is this election or selection that we are experiencing, I mean, we're getting beaten up, folks. We're just being badgered. That's kind of really their attitude here. It doesn't matter what we do, we're just getting punched in the face every single day. And the news is just knocking it out on us every day. And Julian Assange is taking the biggest club. He's hitting us all over the head on what big dumbasses and how gullible all of us have been. So I looked up the word banana republic, and the Googles comes up with a small nation, especially in Central America, dependent on one crop or the influx of foreign capital. That is not exactly correct, which is, and actually even the Wikipedia, I mean, Wikipedia gave us a different version of what a banana republic is. It says it's a political science term for politically unstable countries. Unstable countries, listen to that. In Latin America, whose economies are largely dependent on exporting limited resource products, in other words, bananas, it's typically socially stratified social classes with large impoverished working classes and a ruling plutocracy of business, political, and military elites. The politico-economic oligarchy controls the primary sector productions to exploit the economy, country's economy. That kind of sounds just like us. Our limited resource product is guns. That's what we're exporting. We are producing guns and exporting war all over. I guess that's not a limited resource. We can continue to make war until time eternity. And I think we are blasting ourselves right off of the air, off of this planet into the air. So anyways, I'm going to continue with this idea of Vote the Block, because this is what we planned on talking about. So I'm just going to, they do have a webpage. It's called votetheblock.com. These are people that are really serious about this. They want the volunteers to grow. And it says, we need to shift away from the two-party system. By signing up, we are showing each other that we are willing to vote for a candidate other than those presented to us via the two-party system. This is important for us as a community to encourage one another that we, the people, believe in other options for president. Americans are just showing themselves to be so freaking naive. This is unbelievable. This is a grown adult. People are writing these words. It's important that you confirm your email so that you know you're a real person. Also, please contribute. Please contribute as much as possible so we can verify your status. We're not asking for any more info other than is readily available in the phone book. So I guess they're asking us to contribute what? Money? There's no donation button. Okay, let's keep reading, because I'm going to read. This is their webpage. This is called Vote the Block, and this is for all of you that feel like we're being super screwed, and this is to break up the two-party system. Vote the Block is a coalition of voters who insist on making their voices and their votes count. Yeah, we're going to make our votes count, because why? The voting machines are completely inadequate. I mean, really, people are complaining that George Soros owns the machines. You know who else I think owned those machines originally? I don't know if he sold it to him, but it was Chertoff. Chertoff owned the voting machines, and he owned the voting machines. He owns those machines that scan us when we go through the airport. You know, the people that turned us into the fatherland, the homeland, I guess we're called. I don't know if the United States is a male country or a female country, but I think they refer to us as the fatherland, just like they did in Germany, I think. Most of us believe Bernie Sanders is the rightful Democratic nominee. And what should have happened is all these people should have, like, seriously taken to the streets. Many of us cannot in good conscience vote for Trump or Clinton. Some of us are attracted to third-party candidates, but know the system is stacked against them. We come from different political parties, but all have the good same goal. We want elections, not selections. Well, get over it, folks. Banana Republic. Can I read this again? That's a political science term for politically unstable countries. That's where we're at. We are a politically unstable country. Uh-huh. We come from different political parties, but all have the same goal. We want elections, not selections. We are fighting the two-party narrative. We believe a third-party candidate can win. Really? I have some land to sell you in Florida. I wish this guy would have been on the air, because I would have loved to have a challenging conversation with him, because this to me just sounds like third grade idiotic mumble jumble. Let's all pretend. Let's don't pay attention to the radiation that's killing us. And let's ignore the fact that America is a war machine and our country keeps war alive on this planet. And in fact, we turned many of these countries into banana republics. And when they threw us out, they just turned on us. So basically, now that the Latin Americans are getting a grip on their systems, kicking out the United States like the Philippines just did, they want their country back from the war machine that is destroying the planet. That's what's happening here, folks. We believe third parties deserve funding. We believe a third-party candidate can win. We believe third-party candidates should be included. Shoulds don't work, folks. Stop shooting on people. We believe that third-party candidates should be included in the presidential debates. This November, we are voting the block. Voting the block. And together, we will choose a candidate we can believe in. Please join us. Thank you for joining Vote the Block. I don't know. I don't know. Is there anything more to this? Yeah, there is. Here's a little bit more. This is a voters co-op. Together, we will pool our votes to a third party. Our votes will count because we are counting them. Here is how. This is a voters co-op. Together, we will pool our votes to a third party, a.k.a. Jill Stein. A voters co-op in this context is a safe place for a safe place. See, they're talking like battered women. A safe place for us to express how to one another how we can vote a third party candidate. This sounds like maybe this is where the battered voter shelter is right here. Vote the block. I don't know. When the co-op reaches critical mass, electable numbers, we will collectively go to the polls and complete our mail-in ballots and snap a photo as evidence. So we're going to take a picture of it so those machines can't lie about our votes. You know, in this climate, and I'm getting off the page, this is my little opinion here. In this climate, even if you take a picture of your vote and you decide you're going to double check after the selection to see if your vote really did count for the person you voted for, do you understand? People do not comprehend how complicated it is to protest your vote. This is why we live in what is now a banana republic. The political economic oligarchy controls the private sector productions for the exploit of the country's economy. Large, impoverished, it is typically a stratified social class, including a large, impoverished working class and ruling plutocracy of business, political, and military elites. Hello? That is exactly what we've got, okay? As far back as 2013, Salon was talking about 10 ways America has come to resemble a banana republic. So the challenge is, how do we get out of it? And I commend these people. They really are attempting. They do sound like battered women. A safe place. We don't need a safe place to express ourselves. This is America. If I wanted a safe place, you think I'd be on the radio 3 times a week calling out the nuclear liars? I mean, really, it's not about safety, folks. It's about integrity and honor. Our country was, we had a 10-year war to break away from England a couple hundred years ago. And if anybody thinks that that was easy, it wasn't. It was 10 years of war. And that's what it's going to take. We're just now, the curtain is being drawn back from Oz that these people are badgering us and beating us up repeatedly. And Americans are not yet fighting back. This is considered fighting back. Let me continue reading the page. I think it's quite adorable, but I don't think it's at all effective. Okay. Oh, okay. Mail-in. Snap a photo as evidence. Go snap your photos. We have mail-in ballots here in Oregon. Maybe I should snap a photo of my mail-in ballot anyways and post it on Facebook. What do you think of that? Okay, so let's get back to this. We depend on each other to vote, and together as a community, we will count our votes together. That's my together, I added that. We will know beyond doubt that whomever we choose will become our president-elect, and we will continue to, as a group, to defend progressive values and take whatever steps necessary to preserve the integrity of the voting system. What does that mean? Whatever steps necessary to preserve the integrity of, do you think that our Congress is going to outlaw these illegal voting machines that Greg Palast has shown time and time again? In fact, he has made a whole movie called The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. It is on Amazon now, on demand. You can order it. It's the new version. He updated it. He made the movie about 4 or 5 years ago, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy. They updated it with new information about this current election, which probably means it's more expensive on Amazon now. But it's on demand. And in it, he explains how when he first started this in the year 2000, investigating the stolen Bush election, when the Democrats caved, because I guess now this is the news that came out after the so-called debate last week. The Democrats don't challenge the results of any election because that's the American tradition. Whatever the election results are, we accept them. That's why we let Hillary Clinton be an unindicted election fraudster. She needs to be indicted for election fraud. And folks, we may, that whole thing about we have voter fraud is a complete lie. Again, we have seen that being exposed as having been highly edited videos of purportedly a Democratic operative saying they're going to bus illegals around the country. You know, I'm really sick of people beating up the Hispanic community and the Latin Americans, the illegals that come here, because they can't live on 39 cents a day being paid by Taco Bell, by Westinghouse, by all these other corporations that make big mega bucks in America and come here and pay Americans minimum wage and pay them poverty wages in South America. And I mean, I am not for open borders, but I am for tariffs. I am definitely for tariffs, and I am for not allowing these corporations to import their goods into our country without paying a tariff on it if it's made in another country. So let me get back to this sweet little page. Our votes will count because we are counting them. That's in big letters. That's, I'm sorry, but that makes me laugh. Our votes will count because we're counting them. When the co-op reaches critical mass in electable members, we will collectively go to the polls and complete our mail-in ballots and take a snap a photo as evidence. We depend on each other, and together as a community, we will count our votes. Well, Joel, I wish you had been here because I sure would have loved to have a conversation with you on that one. That was really, no offense, but I sort of saved reading this whole page so that I could talk to you about it as we went along. So glad I did because we didn't actually get to interview you. Look, this whole thing, the reason that we have this shakedown, and I guess it's come out, through the WikiLeaks things, that the Clinton campaign basically bought their way into keeping him quiet. You know, there has been some money that has been exchanged, and I guess he's now got three houses or two houses, and you know, he prided himself. He took pride on the fact that he did not take big money. Well, I guess he does now, and I think he's looking at a cabinet position. I think they're going to call him Secretary of Finance or some kind of, you know, some obsequious name that he gets to, like, make decisions on. He's going to be a big name in politics. In my view, Bernie Sanders is just as a big a traitor as Hillary Clinton, just as big a traitor as Trump, just as big a traitor as Obama, just as big a traitor as all of them that refuse to stand up to the industrial military complex that is raping our country and the planet. Our number one emergency on this planet is Fukushima, folks. If nobody doesn't comprehend that, I don't know. I mean, hopefully my listeners do. So I'm going to give the number out. If anybody wants to call in, I think I've worked out this issue where you can call in. If anybody wants to call and have a conversation with me, since I'm not interviewing Joel, I'll give the number out. It's 718-717-8296 if anyone wants to call and contribute. Otherwise, it's just going to be me doing the makeshift show today because the guy I was going to interview didn't answer his phone. 10 ways America has come to resemble a banana republic. Guess when this was written? Oh, wow. Look at the date. September 11th, 2013. They had the nerve to produce this. If really, honestly, folks, the oligarchs, the people that are in control of this whole scenario, they love numbers. They love things. They love to hit us. They are seriously psychopathic, narcissistic batterers who completely use us on an unconscious level. It is unbelievable. So I pulled up this page. This is really weird. It's Salon, but it has current stories on the site. So how do they do that? I guess that's a internet thing. 10 ways America has come to resemble a banana republic. Let's read what it said in 2013. This originally appeared in Alternet. So Alternet's a really good alternative show. Rising income inequality and shrinking middle class. This is what got the Bernie movement going, because as far back as 2013, this is what's been happening, and people are becoming increasingly aware of it. I'm not going to read the whole story. I'm going to read the 10 things. Rising income inequality and shrinking middle class. Most of us are feeling that one right now. Unchecked police corruption and an ever-expanding police state. Just wait till after the selection, folks. Those poor kids out of DAPL, they are going to start getting mowed down. They're taking it easy on them now because we got the selection going on, and they want people to pretend as if we have a sense of responsibility and integrity, but they have none. This is not about free and fair elections. This is about us learning to click our heels and say Sieg Heil. And for any of you that think the Trumpster is going to be any different than Clinton, look at Mike Pence. Mike Pence is the perfect candidate for the oligarchs, just like Clinton. And by the way, he's not an outsider, folks. He's been buying politicians for years. He's not a Washington outsider. He's just never been in the boardrooms officially, I guarantee you. His attorneys, his, quote, people, they know exactly. It's all one big elitist game. And he's one of the poor ones. He's considered a poor kid who's been sniveling up his way, just like Clinton. Clinton is one of the poor ones. She's a well-paid servant. Unchecked police corruption and an ever-expanding police state. What did we say last week? There was several million dollars that they're giving us. Aha, number three. This one still goes on. And we are talking Bradley Manning or Chelsea Manning right now. Torture. During the Cold War, the U.S. supported many fascist regimes and banana republics engaged in torture. And we have been torturing people nonstop. Waterboarding is torture, people. In fact, we still have men in Gitmo that are being tortured. They're being force-fed if they refuse to eat. They are strapped down to a chair. If you don't think that's torture, watch how they force-feed these men in Gitmo. They strap them to a chair, completely strap their head down, and shove something down their throats. This is outrageous. Now look at number four, folks. The highest incarceration rate in the world, which we all know and nobody does jack about. Why do we have the highest incarceration rates in the world? Well, one reason is to keep the black people in prison. Like, what is it? 80% of all black people end up having to serve time. I mean, we see these stories time and time again. A white guy rapes a little girl, he gets out in 6 months. A black guy rapes a little girl, he's in jail for 30 years. Welcome to America. Corrupt alliance and big business and big government. Corrupt alliance of big business. Isn't that what this selection's all about? Big business and big government? Banks too big to fail, which are about to fail. Again, folks, prepare. I hope you've got your beans and rice stacked up somewhere. And your tools to make fire and your tools to make heat. You know, get yourself some little terracotta pots and stack up on those little tea candles. Figure out how to make your own wax candles, because it's coming. There's no way they're going to let us go another 5 years in peace in the United States. They're kind of mad at us for wanting to have Bernie Sanders, so the Democrats are going to spank us hard. Whoever gets in office, they are going to spank this country super hard. There is going to be not a single fight against the oligarchy once this election is over. In fact, they're going to come down on us with a vengeance. The police state is about to, like, slam down hard on Americans. High unemployment. That's number six, folks. This is where we're at. High and for those of you that think that the government is doing something for the unemployment rate, yeah, if you want to create a bunch of part-time jobs that nobody can live on and support themselves, $8, $7 an hour jobs, that's ridiculous. Inadequate number seven, here we go. Inadequate access to health care. And what are we seeing? So many people like Obamacare. Obamacare was supposed to be the fix, but guess what? insurance rates, and they knew this would happen. This is the whole thing of this one. Corrupt alliance with big business and big government. That's exactly what happened with Obamacare. They made health insurance completely unaffordable. So I'm going to add in my friend Vince Easley. Hold on just one second. I'll see if this works. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Vince. How you doing?
Hey, Lonnie, how are you?
Pretty good. I saw your name pop up. That's how I know it's you. I'm not really a mind reader.
Well, good morning. Hey, I thought I'd maybe just weigh in a little bit and look at the military-industrial complex and really the force multiplier from 9/11 and some of the aspects of that, if you'd like to.
Yeah, I'd love to, because that is really when they kicked it off, wasn't it? The whole thing, 9/11, that's when the takeover, turning America into a banana republic, was kicked off with that event.
And looking at it at today's point in time, God, what do we got? Trump and Clinton. And I've been poking a little fun with some tweets as a pot holder in every kitchen. I think I stole that from Otto in chat and then added Trump/Clinton 2016. Making America great together, like a cheese grater, great.
G-R-A-T-E, gotcha. Got you. That's exactly right, G-R-A-T-E. You know, on what I tweet out is Trump, Clinton, two sides of the same fascist coin. I actually lost a friend on Facebook because I kept posting that everywhere. I mean, they were like all these people that were burners, and they were then they transitioned. Well, we can't have Trump, can we? Trump's gonna like, oh my God, we got to have Clinton. I'm like, dude, they are identical. They're not. They're the same party. It's a one party system now.
Well, you know, we don't know how the script's gonna turn out because it's like a soap opera. It has all those twists and turns, and so right now the plot is Trump will accept the election results if he's elected, but so we see all this these plays, and you can't wear a Trump button and go vote stuff, and votes are being switched as soon as they're hit and entered on the machines, and all the other stuff that goes along with it. So what the narrative right now is set up for is Hillary's going to win and Trump's going to contest it, and but we
Trump
can always blame the Russians
contested.
Or
no.
Maybe the Chinese or maybe there'll be another DDoS attack,
no.
Right?
Trump will not contest it. Trump will end up, see, he says things to incite his base. He says things to make himself look like a real candidate. He's not going to contest it. She's going to win, overwhelmingly win, period. They can rig the, I mean, first off, I think he would across the board lose. I don't think there are masses. I know I would never, I don't know, I personally only know one person out of all maybe the 150 people that I know in my life that would vote for Trump. So I don't think there are masses of people showing up at his debates. Now, are they paid by the DNC to make him look like a real candidate? I don't know. I think he is going to lose across the board massively. But, and that is why he will say, okay, there's no way they could steal it because he's going to win by 33. See, they can only flip the vote by 20 to 30%. So if he wins by 33%, 34%, if she wins by that amount, then he can say, oh, okay, well, I'll accept it. It's overwhelming. And then this would be ironic, wouldn't it, if he gets a job in the administration so that he gets to actually get on the inside of government. He's going to have and she's going to reach out and create an olive branch to Donald. I mean,
you know, I hadn't thought about that. That's basically what Obama did with Hillary. And it's like the reverse of when you're leaving, you know, office, like Michelle Obama's first lady going to, or first Michael, I'm sorry. I mean, I always get confused when I talk about the Obama's spouse, who I'm talking about. But going to Monsanto, you know, in a big, probably multi-million dollar contract job a year there.
I think Michelle Obama has been the best first lady we've ever had. I love her. I think she's a great role model for women.
I think she's got the best bulge of any first lady.
She does. I mean, the thing is, she's a good, strong woman, and she's a good mother. I mean, she knows the inside, and I think she has done a really excellent job of being a first lady. I mean, I know there's
Well, I'll tell you that little hug and a kiss with GW. When I said Jeb Bush, when I picked Jeb Bush to win presidency, when Clinton wins, I'm still not going to be wrong, because the Clintons, the Bushes, the Obama, Trump, they're all bedfellows. So it's a really a big joke for anybody to think that who they would choose out of the selection, because first of all, it's going to be the electoral that determines who's president. And so I say Trump's going to get the majority of popular vote, and
Hillary will be selected. Wrong there, Vance. I don't think there's going to be enough people that would vote for Trump. I don't believe it. I don't think there's enough. I will tell you this. I don't know a single Latino or black person. They're scared of him. Seriously,
I'm scared of him. Hillary's an honest criminal, and Trump's a psychopath.
She's an honest criminal. I don't think she's an honest criminal, and I think that all of this conversation about who's going to win doesn't really matter, because we're already being told what's going to happen. The selection is had. It was had. I mean, we knew this months ago, and this is why there's outrage. This is why people are hanging on to the idea that Trump is a real candidate, even though there's evidence. I mean, there's empirical evidence. Every time this guy got a chance to win over the progressive vote, he shoots himself in the foot. This whole thing about his, quote, locker room talk, they know that's his standard method of operation. Look at the guy. He's a racist, fascist, misogynistic pig. Honestly, I don't know how. I mean, to me, he's the most disgusting. He's as bad as George W. Bush. I mean, he is really repulsive. Those people they're all disgusting. And those are the representatives that we have at the top, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And that is really, that's why I say they're beating us up. That's why this thing, this vote the block, they really crack me up, the language they use. They really do talk like battered wives.
I got to say this, at least where I'm at, and probably it'd be the same elsewhere in the country, I think the majority of people are leaning towards Trump, and when asked why, they would say, because he's a businessman. Well, he's a corporate, in the corporatocracy, he knows how to use the corporate welfare and manipulate the system. He makes his money by stealing from elsewhere. So he's not some great success story on the American way. It is the American way now, unfortunately, the military-industrial compound and all that. So most people don't even understand how the whole thing works, and that their vote doesn't even count for president anyways. And so it's just a dog and pony show. But you know what, Lonnie, I'd like to ask where, as far as 9/11 on that day when that happened, of course there's a lot of different varying ideas and theories, and from, spaceships to everything else of blowing up the buildings. But I think most people, as far as my experience goes, didn't even realize that there was a third building that fell, and not to mention a bunch of other anomalous events that occurred on that day.
I think a lot of people know that the financial building was collapsed, the one building over, not even a building right next to the two that were blown up. Those were timed demolitions. I think that most Americans, and I disagree, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, people didn't accept that as real. But I think a lot of Americans now, and they just don't, kind of like we realize that our vote's being stolen, but what are we going to do about it? That's why I opened up the show saying, you know what, it took us 10 years to fight the war. Americans aren't even at the point of massive protests yet. We're not even in the streets. People are not doing jack. They're just like, we're going to post on Facebook. you know what I mean?
Well, 9/11 was our Reichstag for the homeland, as Nazi Germany was the fatherland. These false flags that have been, prevalent throughout history to initiate conflict.
Exactly. Well, that's exactly. That's why we're in Afghanistan. That's why we're. I mean, they're destroying all of it. I mean, that's why when Barack Obama, I knew we were done. See, the first time Barack Obama ran for president, he got elected because people were so sick of Bush. I know Republicans who voted for Barack Obama who wasn't really behind him, but they were really like scared of what would happen to the country if we kept on the Bush train. And then we all.
I think a lot of that was also white guilt to.
I don't think so.
America is so showed as being racist, prejudiced, and all the derogatory for it. And I think it showed overwhelmingly how unracist America actually is.
I agree with you, and I agree with you. And I think this whole business, this is why, I've heard all the horrible stories about Michelle Obama being a man and blah, 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 blah. That's just,
that was my bold comment, by the way.
Well, I mean, that's just mean-hearted. That's just mean-hearted. That really is at the heart of it, just mean-heartedness, because she's an assertive woman. And you know what? As a female, I completely get that, because people may... Any time a woman is not a passive female, we're considered bitches. We are called names and demeaned all the time. And women who assert themselves get used to it, because that's the way batterers control women, is to demean them. Just like it's all about in our country. This is what this is really exposed, Vince, is the narcissism that is running the country, because really these are all narcissistic, uncaring psychopaths. Like Barack Obama, frankly, for him to keep in all of Bush's advisors as soon as he got in office, he didn't even ease them in. He just went, okay, we're going to take over. And it's coming out in WikiLeaks that the Obama administration was, the people working for Obama were negotiating with the Bush administration months before the election was over. So that, what did that one WikiLeaks tell us, is that this was a planned event. Obama's administration was a planned event. If they did not want Barack Obama as the first black president, like they want Clinton to be the first white female, like this is all just like to make us a salve so we can go away and be happy little worker bees and go, yay, we've got it, and then ignore the fact that we are living in poverty. Ignore the income inequality. The 10 ways, you know.
I'd like to say Michelle and Obama and Barry Sator, or what's his name? Obama, whatever name he chooses to go by. But anyways, you know, they're going to come out of the notorious Chicago mob politics. Neither one of them neither one of them are without blood on their hands. You know, comparing them to the Clinton Bush, they're all in the same cabal.
Yes, and actually, isn't there some information that Barack Obama's grandparents worked for the CIA? Like, there's some thought that this kid was picked a long time ago. I mean, he had one run as senator and then pivoted to the very forefront. And there is some information that it was the nuclear industry who supported him in his quest for the Senate. And, you know, I mean, he has blood on his hands just with that. Anybody who's willing to participate with the nuclear industry has blood on their hands.
Yeah. You might compare with Jimmy Carter in 1976. I believe it was 1975. He goes to London and has dinner with David Rockefeller. And then suddenly after that, he's catapulted to the forefront as the candidate for presidency.
That's right.
He had wrote in his autobiography, I believe it was called In My Own Words, that he would not appoint to office not the office, but the cabinet positions. I'm sorry. Yes, the cabinet positions. These same insiders from the Council on Foreign Relations and Trilateral Commission. But indeed, that's exactly what he did, filling the ranks. So,
well, I don't think they have a choice.
You know, it's smoke and mirrors. It's a false illusion, and
yeah.
That might seem oxymoronic to some, but it's really not.
You see what
the magician wants you to see.
It's the banana republic. They're letting us believe that we actually have a vote when, in fact, I mean, this is the thing. Even if you go into the White House with a pure heart and good intentions and you happen to get in there free and clear, let's say we had a free election, within the first 3 hours, you get a little knock at the door and you are told you want to be rich or you want to be dead or your kids will disappear. You know what I mean? It is full on. It's so evident, the corruption. It's beyond corruption, because it's war profiteering. America
has
the
initiation into the bureaucracy, back into the left, back into the left.
But this is the thing, Vince. What's it going to... Do you think that this, them stealing the election from the people who believe that these are... See, I think they want the protest the anchor, like this, that rancor that's going to go on, this whole thing that's happened with...
Absolutely. It's a continuing orchestration.
Let me see if I can add this guy. This is the guy from the vote block. Hold on just one second.
Okay.
Good morning. You're on the radio with Lonnie Clark in the Age of Fission radio show.
Hello, this is Joel from Optimae.
Hi, Joel. Nice to thank you for calling in.
Let me drop out, Lonnie.
Okay. Thanks, Vince. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. I'll listen back on the radio.
Okay. Hey, Joel.
Yeah.
I gave out the call-in number so that people could call in because it was just me talking.
Oh, perfect.
If I had to figure out something to do here. So
gotcha.
Glad you could join us. I have to say, I went to... this is what prompted the phone call, because I went to vote the block. And I'm glad you called in, because I have read everything that's on this page. And I don't know, you probably don't follow my radio show, but I'm pretty outspoken. And I used to be a burner. I used to really believe in the whole Bernie Sanders thing. And I now firmly believe that what this election has shown us is that we live in a banana republic. This is the outing of the banana. And, you know, like even the language on your page, you know, where you said something like, let me read what it says. The voters co-op in our context is a safe place for us to express to one another how we can vote for a third party candidate. To me, that's like battered women's. I've often said this on my radio show.
I would agree.
We don't, there is no battered country shelter to go to. But this is like a battered woman. Like, we feel like we are getting beaten up so badly right now that we're desperate. That's what
I've used that analogy before. It's funny you should mention that, because that analogy, I think, fits America, like, profoundly well. Like, we don't really know that each and every one of us are as abused as we are in this country because of the alienation through consumerism and the such. And I can go off on that. But, yeah, it is. It's kind of like, don't be afraid. You can come out. You can come out, and we'll take you in a van to a safer place where you can vote your conscience.
I was just on the phone with Vince Easley. He's a host on other radio shows, and he is a huge Trump supporter. Let's just put you that way. Mm-hmm. He believes that Trump is going to win and that the vote's going to be stolen. And I personally think that Trump is going to lose by huge numbers. I mean, I don't know. Do you know many burners who will vote for Trump?
No.
I mean, a lot of them
will vote for Jill, but not Trump.
Right. And there's a lot of things in the media that says, oh, these burners, they're going to vote for Trump. You know, like that news that came out in Pennsylvania. There's a lot of burners in Pennsylvania. What part of the country are you in?
San Jose, California.
Right. And so what's the temperature in California in terms of Trump or Clinton?
Oh, I went out and interviewed about 20 people yesterday over by Shoreline, which is near Mountain View, California. And, you know, the temperature on that is total dissatisfaction. I mean, you know, not to get diverged from the subject, but total dissatisfaction with both, first off.
Yeah.
And people are just fed up and they're unhappy. But then you have this contingent of people who are like, well, we can't let. And then they go to either extreme with Trump or Clinton.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, people are a little bit confused and disoriented, and some are not even voting at all. And there was two that were Trump supporters, but they were more likely to go for – this is interesting, actually, and this, we're finding this out through the movement. The Trump supporters are more likely to go for Bernie, actually. And the Clinton supporters are just die hard – dyed in the wool, head in the sand, which is weird, right? Because it's supposed to be the more liberal, more intellectual, more educated side of the equation. But that's not the case in my research and the research of other people. Because the Trump people, he's an anti-establishment guy, and they're desperate. And they're like, we've had enough. And, you know, they're usually blue-collar. They're people who work hard for a living, and they're people who have watched inflation kind of invade and kind of grow and kind of like influence their lives and take money away from their coffers. So they're like, fix it. They're kind of like, quick fix, you know. And they excuse a lot of the Hitler-esque verbiage that Trump lets spew out all the time. You know, it's just kind of like, we need something different. So they tend to be people who were willing to convert over to Bernie, while the Clinton people, like, if you can, let's put it this way. If you can still vote for Clinton after seeing the WikiLeaks emails being released and watching all the different connections and seeing all the people that had, like, been fired from top positions in the DNC, and then kind of as it leaks out that there's some voter fraud happening and saying, if you can, you know, that's directly connected with Hillary Clinton, if you can still vote for Clinton, then you're going to be diehard by definition. You're going to be diehard.
They're not diehard. They're afraid of Trump. My daughter begged me to vote for Clinton. She is begging me to vote for Clinton because she's scared to death of Trump.
Yep.
A lot of the gay community does not want Trump. He has not reconciled. My nephew, who does not like Clinton, is half black. He will vote for Clinton because he's scared of Trump. I know Hispanic people who don't like Clinton, but they're going to vote for her because they're scared. There's a huge – the Fear Trump campaign has really been effective. And this is why I contend that Trump is actually working to help – I think he's working for his billion-dollar bonus. I think he's working to help her get elected. I firmly believe that.
You and I discussed that before, and I'm interested and open to that. Like I said, just to disclose again, that's a far position for me, and I can't really back it up through a money trail or anything. But what you're saying makes sense. Is all I'm saying. It makes sense that would have been the choice to bring people all in. You know, to bring people all into one extreme. You know, because of how outrageous and obnoxious. You know, one of the interesting things to me, and I have a very good relationship with people that are religious, whether it be Muslim, Christian, Buddhist, I don't care. But in America, specifically the Christian population, it's very interesting for me to see how Trump can say things like, we're going to torture the families of terrorists, the families, not the terrorists, their families. Well, you know, of course, assuming the terrorists as well, but we're going to torture the family, and waterboarding's not enough. We're going to, because even though that's illegal and that violates the Geneva Convention, we're also going to do things that are more, that are further along the lines. And it's to hear them say, you know, like, yeah, Trump's going to save us, and then to say those words to them and then repeat them, and to watch them excuse what Trump had said means that we're in a very scary place in America. Like, we're scared.
We really
are scared.
You did not hear the intro to my show, because I say that love is greater than fear, and we need to stop being afraid. I mean, our directive is to not be afraid. So we have about 10 minutes left on the show. I want you to clarify. So I read everything on your page here. Does that mean that you want people to sign up to vote for Bernie or for Jill?
So, okay, that's where this can all get confusing. I'll sum it up really quickly. First of all, you should be going to BernieVote.com or Optini.com, but BernieVote.com is the best because it really goes into flesh and blood of the strategy. And we have people all over the nation right now who are figuring out how and what the conditions are for writing Bernie in as president in whatever respective state you're in. So that's the place to go to figure out what this really means. So
there is no way
as
a burner, a former burner, I would never vote for Bernie Sanders. 100%. He lost my vote and my confidence. I think he's a traitor. I am more than angry, spitting nails at the guy. So that's my position. And B, the reality is, if he got enough electoral votes to knock out each majority for each of the two, the Congress would be appointing the next president. Do we want this Republican Congress to appoint the next president?
Let me make the argument for writing in Bernie first, and then you can attack it from there. The argument is that although you and I and a lot of other people are really frustrated with what Bernie had done, we don't know the conditions surrounding it. There
doesn't
are still
matter.
A super hot 80% of Vermont will vote for Bernie. Okay, there is no way that there's going to be another candidate that's a third-party candidate at this point that's going to disrupt that balance. Now, let me explain something. The Congress is the House of Representatives, and the House of Representatives is also going to be new. So we're talking about a new House of Representatives voting for our president. And then we have a buffer there where we can have people from all over the nation flood in and say, we're not going to allow you to take these other two candidates because it's a fraud. right? So this is the argument behind it, is that he's really the only guy in the public eye, in the hearts of the public still, that they feel good about. Good enough to come out in large numbers.
Look, he's not coming out and saying, he is not saying, let's create this strategy. He's out there stumping for the monster who stole the election.
He's not doing a very good job. He's spending most of his time talking about policy, right? He's not really running around talking.
Yeah, I have to say he does do that, and I taunt him all the time on Twitter, all the time. I think he's a traitor. I personally believe that he's. I think.
But you believe Trump is a setup, and he's a traitor. I mean, at what point?
That's right. That's exactly right. There is no free and fair election. You got that point exactly right. This election was preordained from the get. That's my contention. That's what we've seen.
Yeah. And again, when it comes to politics and when it comes to someone who gets to that level and the people that are at that level, there's a lot of strategic things happening, and there's a lot of confusion, purposeful confusion. Like there's a new political psychologist out there who's been releasing videos about how a lot of times what will happen is you'll be given a truth and then you'll be given the counter truth to it, and they'll support both sides of that. So you end up in utter confusion. Now, having said all that, I don't want to get people into this despairing place like that. Yeah, I feel that way, and that's why I'm confused. Go fucking do something. Excuse my French. It doesn't matter anymore if this campaign of fear and confusion is upon us. Go out there and do something. Just do anything. Go and hang something up. If you like Jill, hang a sign above a bridge for Jill. Like, if you like Bernie, you want him written in, then go and contact your local media and talk about him getting written in. We can't just be in a situation where we're cuddled up in the corner of a room scared. And I can disagree or agree with you,
but I like you, and I
like your opinions, and I'm open to them. And I like the fact that you are willing to stand up against this monolith of corruption. I'm with you. So let's go. We'll do something together.
I mean,
and I'm okay.
I agree completely with you. And I actually, you know, this is the thing. In Oregon, we do mail-in ballots, and I got my ballot, and I normally fill it out. And I really do not. I mean, I think what I'm going to do is abstain from the vote for presidency. I think that's what I'm going to do, is I'm just going to abstain. I'll vote on the down ticket, but I really, like, there is nobody, like, even Jill Stein, I can't vote for Jill Stein. I mean, she's just like the usual punching bag that everybody loves to beat up because she has no power. And she's willing to put herself out there, but the fact is, it's a banana republic. We are ruled by oligarchs in the military. We have
That's
an
right.
increasing police state, and I am actually concerned
right.
for the DAPL water protectors, because as soon as this election is over, the violence out there is going to be exacerbated. We are going to have a catastrophe on our hands out there. And I really, you know, it's the writing. This is the point. This is why I really like this, like, block the vote. At least it's something. I mean, I think... Frankly, Americans are naive. We have been mollycoddled into things are going to be easy. Don't worry. Just stand up, vote, and we can eat. No, it's not easy. We're going to have to take to the streets. I mean, this is what I was telling Vince. Vince thinks that Trump is going to get the majority of the vote. He thinks he's in Trump country. He's in the heart of America in Trump country, where everybody out there loves Trump. Well, I don't think there's enough people in our country. I don't think there's enough women or black people or Hispanics that would push him. He needs women. He's not going to get the women, period.
No,
but
yeah.
This is the thing. Yeah. They're feeling like, oh, this is going to be stolen. That's why we're hearing these stories about the voting machines, which is hilarious. They talk about the voting machines now, since we've had the stolen votes for 16 years.
The outcry is at least something that now, you're like you said, a lot of people are frustrated, like you and myself, who have gone and done a lot of research on voting machines. But it is happening, and it is an exciting time, and it is time for people to come out of the woodwork and start to talk and hit the streets, because we're in a very, 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 like you said, we're completely controlled at this point. A lot of people are arguing that we just, as far as having a democracy, it's gone. I don't think it's too extreme to say that. it's like you said, with the voting machines. I just spoke with a woman. I'm not going to disclose her name, but I can tell you that she's connected all the dots, and she's connected all. Over a year, she's been researching this, and she's connected all the dots on how they got the voting technology pushed through to each of the states, and they've got their own software engineers who have pretty much, you know, written the code in such a way as to be controlled and manipulated, and it's done. It's finished, she says. I've shown all the money trail and the political trail.
Look,
people moving from one group to the other.
Have you seen Greg Palast's movie, The Best Democracy Money Can Buy? He's got a new version of it out. Greg Palast is an investigative reporter who has to live in England because he gets harassed in America. So he lives in England. He produced this movie. His research has shown, him and his team has shown, that they can rig the vote 20-30%. So I think Trump is going to lose by 33%, 34%, just enough so that he will go, oh, and this is why I think he's a red herring. He's out there saying, well, I don't know if I'll accept the vote. Well, that makes everybody believe he's real. But when he loses by a huge landslide and he is offered a spot in the Clinton administration, he's going to accept the vote. It's a shakedown. And maybe that is what it's going to take for Trump and Bernie to have a place in the Clinton administration, for people in America to really get it.
Well, yeah, but you have to understand. I know what you're saying, and I think that I don't know what the extent of the fraud is, but I can tell you one thing for sure. If a bunch of people write in, or if a bunch of people vote for Jill in the states you can't write in, and everyone in the states you can write in, they write in. Write-in votes are counted by hand. They have to be by definition. They don't go through a voting machine. Okay, so this is a possibility. This is an option for us to make a protest that actually could be effective. The same with Jill. If you have people, let's just suggest, even if it's possible, in Idaho, for instance, 90% of people end up voting for Jill. Well,
hey, hold
you
on,
can rig an election
second.
So far, you know.
Joel, let me interrupt you. My friend Vince wanted to clarify, he is definitely not for Trump. He is definitely not a Trump or a Clinton supporter. So hold on, I'm going to add him to the call. Let me see if we can get him in on this conversation. Vince, are
Lonnie,
you there?
I just have to say real quick, I do not support Trump.
I know. I just said that.
I had
it.
To clarify that. Thanks, Lonnie.
Okay.
Thanks, y'all. Bye-bye.
Sure. Bye.
Sure. Cool. Okay. Well.
Well, this is the thing. Yeah. We have 2 weeks till the election, and the point of this is for us to create a block of votes. Correct. That's the idea, is to create a block of votes. Is it for just Bernie?
Yeah.
Is it for one person?
No. So what? Again, I know it's confusing. You have to go to BernieVote.com to figure out what this has evolved into. I am the person who put Vote the Block together. I'll try and sum it up really quickly. We have a strong campaign to write in Bernie because we know it will be effective. We know the population is behind him, and we know that the write-in votes can't be screwed with on the voting machines. So there's a strong campaign, especially in Vermont right now, a giant call campaign. If you go to BernieVote.com, you can start calling Vermont. 80% of people we call are for Bernie. We can get those three. It would be a historical moment if he got those three electoral votes. Now, Vote the Block. VoteTheBlock.com is a place where people can come and just show, hey, look, I'm not doing it. I'm out of it. I'm out. I'm out of the fear campaign. I have graduated from the fear campaign, and I'm now going to vote my conscience. I'm going to vote as a protest, but I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to enter into that game.
Okay.
That game's over.
Look, Joel, thank you for joining us. We have about 15 seconds left. VoteTheBlock.com. Please go there, or BernieVote.com. Put your courage feet on. Take action. Do something.
Yes.
Thank you, Joel, for calling us.
Thank you.
We'll talk with you guys later.
Thanks a lot.
Okay.
Bye.